You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. The countdown to kickoff is nearly complete, and we're all over it. Steve Merrill's going to step up and in. Pat Mayo's going to join me in studio. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart's going to join me in studio. We're going to hit the best bets of the weekend. We'll talk first half totals, first half sides. We'll talk hot roster. We'll talk DraftKings, and we'll talk everything else in between. I've got some college basketball picks for you. Our college picks have been scorching this week. Good night last night. 5-2, 7 picks, 5 winners, 2 losers. We look to keep it rolling tonight. Some intriguing matchups in the National Basketball Association, including the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. We'll take a look at that game with Steve Merrill. The Raptors and the Hornets on the board tonight, and a suddenly hot Philadelphia 76ers basketball team. Last year, the Sixers only won 10 games. This year, they've already won 14 games, and they think that they can be a playoff team this year. And you know what? The way they're playing right now, they would end up in the playoffs. They keep it up at this rate, although I don't know if they can keep it up the rate they are. They're 8-1 against the spread in their last 9 basketball games. We'll take a look at the NBA, but we're all about football on today's program. And, of course, it was about, 3 weeks ago that I stood in this exact spot before the playoffs started and told you that the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Atlanta Falcons would face off in Super Bowl 51. We're not there yet, but we're pretty damn close. And we see in the National Football League on an annual basis, teams who are rolling earlier in the season are sort of anointed as the Super Bowl champion. But it's not about having the best record in the regular season. And it's a fine line. It's a tricky line because you want home field. It's tough to run the table on the road. So you sort of want home field. But at the same point in time, home field didn't do the Dallas Cowboys any good. It's not about having the best record in November. It's about playing your best football in January. And we look back at past Super Bowl winners, and generally it's teams that got hot in December and then kept that rolling through. And if you look at the teams that are playing right now, Green Bay Packers. Packers are on, an 8-game win streak right now. 8 consecutive wins for the Green Bay Packers. They're taking on an Atlanta Falcon team that's on a 5-game win streak. The Falcons' 5-game win streak is the smallest of the teams remaining. The Pittsburgh Steelers are on a 9-game win streak right now. The New England Patriots on an 8-game win streak. You know, the Patriots haven't lost since November the 13th when they lost to the Seattle Seahawks. Incidentally, that was the last time, with the exception of last week's playoff game against the Houston Texans, that the Patriots played a team that made the playoffs. And I've been saying this for years about the Patriots. They are a dynasty. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever to play in the National Football League, and Belichick is a diabolical genius. But they're like a college football team that plays in a bad conference. And we see they get exposed. Listen, they're 1-3 in their last 4 AFC Conference Championship football games. They're not playing the Houston Texans this weekend. Meanwhile, you got the Green Bay Packers, red hot right now, getting 5 points. Seems like a lot of points, doesn't it? You got a Green Bay Packer team with Aaron freaking Rodgers. You know, forget about Tom Brady. People are talking, people were comparing Aaron Rodgers to Babe Ruth yesterday for some reason or another, which I don't really understand because Babe Ruth's a fat baseball player who's been dead for like 50 years. And Aaron Rodgers is a skinny football player that's still playing right now. I don't really see the comparisons. I guess because they guaranteed something, Aaron Rodgers and Joe Namath now. Whatever, man. He told everyone to chill out and they're going to run the table, and they did run the table. But like Axl Rose so eloquently stated in Cold November Rain, like a Cold November Rain, nothing lasts forever. And the Green Bay Packers' run will come to an end. Their secondary will finally be You are watching, maybe listening to Game Time Decisions. Either way, it's on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, we got a great show. We got Steve Merrill. We got Steve Mayo and Pat Merrill and Cam Stewart will join us. We got two in-studio guests, and we got a Skyper. So let's, without further ado, let's just bring in Steve Merrill right now via Skype. What's going on, Steve?
Put on Merrill, hold the Mayo.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of confusing. Merrill and Mayo. I like that. Merrill, Mayo, and Morenci. Sounds like a bad law firm.
Triple M. Sounds like a good action movie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. More of an action movie than a law firm.
Sometimes we need both.
Yeah, you want like Rabinovich, and Rabinovich. You know, you don't want Merrill and Mayo when you're in trouble. Merrill and Mayo sounds more like a pawn shop.
Yeah, Merrill and Mayo does not sound like a good law firm, that's for sure.
No, it sounds like an Irish pub. You know what I mean? But anyways, you take in any of the inauguration this morning, Steve?
Yeah, and I just turned the news back on before I came on, and they're showing the protest in D.C. There's literally three guys turning over newspaper boxes. And I flipped around to like 10 networks because, you know, I'm fascinated by how the networks cover things differently. And CNBC and MSNBC are the only two showing the protesters. None of the other networks are showing anything but just like inauguration stuff.
Yeah, I noticed
so
that.
MSNBC.
MSNBC is trying to show their, they're trying to show it's chaos in the streets, right? That's
yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting because obviously MSNBC is the most left network. I didn't check CNN, though. I would have been curious to see what they were showing. But all the mainstream, ABC, NBC, CBS, they're all in studios still. And the protest is kind of a joke. I mean, it's literally four guys with ski masks on 20 yards behind the police line, and they're tossing over newspaper boxes and jumping on them. I mean, it's literally like three people.
They've been paid, though. There's a bunch of protesters, but it turns out they were paid. It's not a bad gig, actually. See, Trump's already putting people back to work in America. On all sides.
And if they get arrested, they could call Merrill, Morency, and Mayo to get them out of jail.
Yeah, exactly. Or my guy, my Buffalo attorney, Carl Miles. Really, Carl Miles. I found out that he was a Michigan State law grad. I was like, oh, God.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like, I'm in a lot of trouble. Like, I even told him. I said, you know, if I would have known you went to Michigan State, I never would have hired you.
I would have represented myself.
Yeah, exactly. He went to Canisius and Michigan State. I'll take the Canisius, I guess, but nevertheless. So Steve, let's jump in here. We got the Packers and the Falcons on the board. Falcons are laying 5. Something that intrigues me about the number of this game is the fact that Aaron Rodgers is so hot right now. Aaron Rodgers is the most popular man in America right now. He's the biggest sporting figure. People are in awe of what he's doing. I talked about it off the top. I saw a column, I think it was at Fox Sports, comparing him to Joe Namath and to Babe Ruth because he said they were going to run the table and all this other stuff. Yet the odds makers, they're not budging, man. It's like, no, it's 5 points. Like, it feels like this game would be 3 because nobody ever believes in the Falcons. And everyone in the public, every $20 bettor is going to be on the Packers here, Steve. So it's fascinating to me the number's 5. And I sort of get the feeling that the odds makers are trying to bait people into taking the Packers here.
We have a definite sharp square divide on this game. As you said, the public is heavy on the Packers. Over 65% of the consensus, including covers.com, is on Green Bay in this game with the consensus picks. Yet yesterday, Thursday afternoon, in the middle of a basketball day, the line went from 4.5, 5 up to 5.5 in many sports books. A steam move last night on Thursday. Obvious sharp money. So there's no question the sharps are on Atlanta. The public will be on Green Bay. Little surprise they played Atlanta early last night because if you know the public's going to be on Green Bay, most of that money comes in on Saturday
exactly.
And Sunday. I didn't quite understand why you jump on 4.5. It's not even a key number. Why not try to get 4? So maybe this is a setup in the sharps like Green Bay as well. Maybe. I like Atlanta in this game. I think the line's a little hefty now, but I like what you bring up about Aaron Rodgers. Yet Matt Ryan's going to be the MVP of the league. He has the 4th highest quarterback rating in the history of the NFL this season. By the way, the odds right now, 87% of the betting odds that he'll be MVP, yet nobody's talking about him. They were at home last week, a rather easy game against Seattle. They had the week off before. Meanwhile, Green Bay now playing their 3rd straight playoff game, their 2nd in a row on the road. And if you factor in that they had to play that divisional final against Detroit on the road Sunday night, this is really 3 out of 4 games on the road that were meaningful playoff type. And if you go back even further, Green Bay has now won 8 straight games. Almost every one of those was a must-win just to be in this situation. I think this is a much better scheduling spot for Atlanta. And then on top of that, I think they match up well. We've talked about that weak Green Bay defense, especially the pass defense. I think Matt Ryan has another big day, especially for fantasy players.
I think they're finally exposed defensively, and they were exposed defensively by the Dallas Cowboys last week.
Right.
You take that first 8 minutes out of the game, the Cowboys went up and down the football field on them. I think the injuries catch up to them, and I think Green Bay runs out of gas here. The number's getting a little high. I'm with you, Steve, because I'm expecting some buyback with Green Bay. Maybe there's some sharps out there. Maybe messing with the market, Billy or something. You know what I mean? And
yeah, they're trying to get six, maybe.
Yeah, they're trying to mess with the market. Then they're coming big on Green Bay after. But it is strange because, you know, everyone in the public loves the Packers. Yet, you know, the odds aren't moving. You got the Jordy Nelson injury. He's not going to play. Like, I'm not counting on Jordy Nelson playing. I think he played in the Super Bowl, but he's not playing now. Devontae Adams got a bad ankle. I think it's worse than they're actually letting on with Adams. And even Allison is banged up now. Like, they're running out of bodies to throw the football to. As good as Aaron Rodgers is, I don't see him outscoring Matt Ryan here.
Yeah, and like I said, Green Bay's won 8 straight in a row, and they basically had to win every game because they had that 1-5 run in the midseason. So this is like almost their 8th or 9th playoff game in a row. Meanwhile, Atlanta, you know, had a meaningful game against New Orleans to finish the regular season. That was at home. They had the bye week, and then they're at home again last week. It's a tremendously better scheduling spot for an Atlanta team that historically plays very well at home on top of that in the dome. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised with the line move as well. If maybe the Sharks won in Green Bay, maybe they're trying to get it up to 6 to get that bye back. But I'd be a little surprised because I just don't think it's a great spot for Green Bay.
You know what? What's interesting as far as the total, Steve, are you scared off? The total should be 57.5, 56, 57.5, all right, 58. But they wanted to put that to scare people off a little bit. I don't think it's going to scare the public off. It's hard to convince yourself to want to take the under here. The Falcons are 9-0 to the over at home this year. They're 14-2-1 to the over. Packers' last 6 games have gone over the number. I mean, I think there's going to be some points put up on the board. You know, the Falcons scored 19 points a game in the first half, which is among, like, the all-time highest as well, Steve. I looked, you know, when they played in Week 8, it was 24-19 at the half for the Green Bay Packers. You know, I can't ever recall seeing an NFL first half total at 30.5, Steve. But, you know, I think the first half could go over here.
Yeah, I mean, the one concern I would have, and I think the one hope underbettors might have, is actually a slow first quarter. We talk about this a lot with the Super Bowl, as you know, Gabe, that, you know, the second half is usually higher scoring because teams come out a little conservative early on. They don't want to make the first mistake. And now, granted, this isn't the Super Bowl, but it's still a conference championship game, so it's very close. So if you are going to play the under, maybe the first quarter under would be the best play. I'm seeing that around 13.5. You know, you'd like to get 14, but it's 13.5. The only way I'd play this game is over, though. It's a high number, but for good reason. The public is about 65% on the over in this game as well. I consider myself a sharp, and I want nothing to do with the under. You know, maybe other sharps will play that line value. Ask them how that's worked out for them this year. I don't do that anymore. I look for overs in the NFL because it's a pass-happy league. We have 2 great quarterbacks here. We have a dome setting. Atlanta 9-0 to the over in the dome this year. Conference championship games historically are pretty high scoring, just like Super Bowls, because you get some garbage points in the second half. This is a high total for good reason. Now, when they did play earlier this year, as you mentioned, 43 points at halftime, 65 points total. The over-under was 51. Now it's 60.5. So obviously it's inflated, but for good reason.
Yeah, it's you know, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, if you need a clean ride to get to the total to 60. You're right. You know, you need some speed bumps. Something that intrigues me here, I was going to say, is the Falcons team total. I think it's 32.5. It's incredibly high, but I think they're going to go over that. I really think the Falcons are going to put up 38 to 41 points in this football game. All right, Steelers and Patriots. The number is moving here, and it's talking about the total here, Steve. First half line, I see the total's 25. We've got a Patriots defense that's only giving up 15.6 points per football game. We got a Pittsburgh Steelers team that's only giving up 19.7 points per football game. Pittsburgh went up and down the field last week, but they struggled in the red zone, kicked 6 field goals. Last week, it's not like Tom Brady lit it up. And, you know, to me, I like the points in this football game. There's, you know, no one's ever getting rich betting against Brady and Belichick, but they are just 1-6 against the spread in their last 7 AFC Conference Championship football games. But I think this is a lower scoring game. I think it lands around the total, Steve. But I think the first half under 25 is intriguing here.
These teams, of course, have played twice each of the last 2 seasons, but we kind of have to throw the numbers out for the October meeting this year because keep in mind Ben Roethlisberger missed that game due to injury. Landry Jones was the quarterback for Pittsburgh, and New England actually closed as a 7-point road favorite.
And Gronkowski played in that game, too.
Exactly.
So Gronk was there, 11. Too. Yeah.
And that's what I was going to say, because Gronkowski actually led the team. He only had 4 receptions, but he led the team with 93 receiving yards. He had some big plays. Last year, these teams played early in September of 2015. Last season in New England, the Patriots were a 7-point favorite. They won by exactly 7. Gronkowski had 8 receptions in that game. So he has been a factor in both games, and he is now not playing. Roethlisberger is back. New England goes from being a 7-point road favorite to only a 6-point home favorite now. It shows how much Big Ben and Gronk are worth. I think this game will play out more like last year's game, which, by the way, 28-21 landed exactly on 49.
Yeah.
That was with a lot of touchdowns. They weren't all touchdowns. Pittsburgh had some field goals, actually, to get to 21. I think the real question, though, is, like you said, do the Steelers put the ball in the end zone this week? 6 field goals, an NFL playoff record last week. They still won the game, barely. Do they come out a little flat in the first half, or can they move the ball early in this game? Same thing I said about Atlanta Green Bay. If you like the under, I think the first half under or even the first quarter under is probably the safest option. Second half, usually higher scoring in these big title games.
Yeah, that's why I like this one. I like the first half under. I'm going to give this as one of my picks. First half under 25 in the Steelers-Patriots game. All the numbers are on the Pat side here as far as historical context. Tom Brady, 9-2 all-time versus the Steelers. 26 touchdown passes, just 3 interceptions. The Steelers 11-2 to the under in the last 13 road games. Both these teams are going to be looking to run the football, I think, Steve. But I look at the New England Patriots, and the Steelers won't be able to get the same pressure that the Houston Texans did. Clowney's a freak, and he was getting there in a second and a half. It looked like that Michigan Bowl game again, all over how quickly he was getting to Brady. But with that being stated, you mentioned it, Steve. Rob Gronkowski's always caused the Steelers a lot of problems. Tight ends have caused the Steelers problems. These wide receivers aren't scaring anybody. Julian Edelman's a good fantasy player, and he's going to catch a bunch of balls and stuff, and he's good. But if he's their biggest concern, I think they can deal with that. Chris Hogan's not scaring anybody. Martellus Bennett's kind of disappeared as of late. It's not like that Pat's passing attack's been great. And how about this, Steve? I was thinking, I always talk about this being a Bills fan, that the Patriots are like a college football team. They dominate a bad conference. And it doesn't mean they're not good, but it just means their life gets a hell of a lot tougher because they're not used to playing against good teams. And case in point, Steve, with the exception of last week's game in the playoffs against a playoff team in the Texans, who are whatever, they didn't play a playoff team since November the 13th. With the exception of the Dolphins, division teams. But I'm talking about a real team. The last time they played a real team was November the 13th. They lost. They beat up on crappy teams all the time. And then they get in these championship games, and it's not that easy for them.
Totally agree. You and I always think alike. It scares me sometimes.
Exactly. You should be scared.
I know, yeah. Renzi, Mayo, and Merrill on the same page.
Yeah.
Great minds think alike, I guess, but that's exactly what I was going to say. I was looking over the schedule, and I was going to say the same thing. I don't think Houston or Miami are really playoff teams. So you got to go back to mid-November when they lost to the Seattle Seahawks at home, a Seattle team that just got thoroughly outplayed at Atlanta last week, a team that scored only 5 total points at Tampa Bay right before that game against New England. They put up 31 against the Patriots. Gronkowski is a major weapon they're missing. They've kind of coasted through a very easy schedule. Look at it. The Jets, Ravens, Rams, Broncos. Baltimore was the only team that was somewhat moving the ball well, and that game was 30-23. They still had a close game there at home. It's going to be tough for New England to win by a margin here. They only beat the Ravens by 7. They lost outright to Seattle. Those are the only 2 good teams they've played at home in a couple months. I think this line is pretty much where it should be. I think New England wins. Not sure I'd want to lay 6, so it's getting a little pricey.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be shocked if the Pats won. I think it's one of these 24-23 games. 27-24, it's going to land right around the total number, maybe just under, just over. It's going to be right there, but I think we got a close football game. All right, we got to get out of here. So quickly on the NBA, but as far as the props, I kept looking. A lot of the books actually have props out already, which they normally don't have this early in the week. I couldn't find a total punt prop, though, Steve, for the Falcons-Packers game. I wanted to find that and look under the number, but the quarterbacks, they're both 26.5 over-under. The Packers don't run the football. Like, Aaron Rodgers is going to throw the ball a million times in this football game. Le'Veon Bell's prop is 103.5 yards. It's a lot of yards, Steve, but, man, he racks up the yards, doesn't he? Any props catch your eye?
Yeah, I've had a couple shows the last couple days actually asked me about the Rodgers versus Ryan, who they think will have more passing yards. And I've said Rodgers is because the team that normally loses the game, throws the ball more. The concern I would have there, though, is that Green Bay's pass defense is so bad this year that Matt Ryan might not be able to help but rack up a lot of yardage. I think the Pittsburgh-New England game is a bit trickier because, as you said, Pittsburgh does have the better running attack compared to New England, even though I think New England probably wins the game. That could be a situation where Brady wins and still throws for more yards. So the props are a little bit tricky in both games.
All right, so quick hits on the way out here. Raps and Hornets, a lot of line movement here. Right now the Hornets laying a point. Both teams have been kind of flat lately, but the Raptors have dominated them. How about the 76ers, Steve? Live play tonight. Blazers are a bad road team. Sixers really feeling it. 8-1 against the spread of the last nine. I think they've won four home games in a row. And then we got the big one. And how about a total, Steve? We're talking about 60.5 in the NFL, NBA. It's up to 239.5 right now. I thought it was crazy at 236.5.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockets don't even try to play defense, and Golden State is more willing to play that style than anybody else when they get the opportunity. Warriors currently about a 5-point road favorite here. When Golden State is focused, they've been a negative point spread play. They've been several games below 500 this year against the point spread despite having the best straight-up record. But when focused, that's not the type of team you want to go against, and it's going to be a high-octane game. And I've always said when there's two similar styles playing, the more talented, better team holds an edge. It's an angle I like to use in college basketball. Golden State's quietly now covered three in a row, and they've won all three by at least 20 points or more. So pretty hard to buck them right now.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com. Always a pleasure, Steve. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Moretti. Sit alongside the raging redhead, Cam Stewart. The kid is hot tonight. Whoa, so hot tonight. Where will he be tomorrow? Be watching college basketball tomorrow.
And
that's where this kid will be.
It's my mom's 75th birthday. I'll be taking the family out to a juicy steakhouse. I better hit some winners.
Happy birthday to Joanne. Mrs. Stewart.
Joanne, 75.
Mrs. Stewart, I'd say happy birthday, but I know you're not watching the show.
Channel 499, where's that?
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
It's always a pleasure, Cam. Yep. Always a pleasure. Yep. So, listen, before we get to some hot roster talk, we've been breaking these games down with Steve Merrill. You and I discussed these games on Morency Unfiltered earlier in the week. Packers and Falcons. Point spread hasn't moved at all, and it's amazing the dichotomy here, Cam, because Johnny Public loves Aaron Rodgers and the Packers this spot, but the line's not moving at all because there are bigger bets that are just holding this Falcons number the way that it is. But, Cam, you and I discussed this, and we've been around a long time. This feels like it's a fishing trip. The bookies have thrown the reel out, and they got a little Green Bay Packer logo as bait, don't they?
Yeah, they absolutely do. And you know me, Morency, I look for dogs. I'm basically going across, how do I take a dog in a game? But I love Atlanta. And this Green Bay receiver situation, so think about it. If Jordy Nelson plays, he's probably only going to be a decoy.
He's not going to play.
No, I'm going to say, only as a decoy. The guy's got you're going to hit in the ribs, you're done. So all the situation, Allison's banged up. What happened the last time Davante Adams had a high ankle sprain? He couldn't play in the game. So you're relying on Jeff Janis. And all these other guys who can barely catch the ball. Hey, Rodgers is Superman. He's a guy that's getting it all done. But when you have nothing, they're going to double-team Cook. So who's going to step up for these guys? Richard Rodgers. I'm telling you, Atlanta is seething right now. They've had no respect all season long. Why did the line come out the way it was, Gabe? I would have seen a 3 and a 3.5. That's it. Packer money, publicly backed team. People love Green Bay. I'm riding it down with Atlanta. I think the Falcons are going to get it done and win the game by 11 points.
I like where you're going with that. I think it's going to be a high score. I think the Falcons are going to put up a boatload of points. So we'll get to the fantasy aspect of this in a second. Steelers and Patriots. It's up to 6 points right now, Cam.
Yeah,
this dog is barking.
A lot of points. Yeah, if I'm taking one favorite, we got to take the dog with Pittsburgh. I actually like the situation
here.
Yeah,
like the Packers are a poodle.
Yes.
Yeah, the Steelers are like a pit bull.
Oh, no. The Steelers are...
You know what I mean? The Steelers are a James Harrison's like a pit. If James Harrison was a dog, he would be a pit bull.
Yeah, he's basically the Steelers' defensive players. Him and Dupree are like Cujo, who's got rabies, and he's foaming at the mouth. And I'll tell you, Tom Brady, you might want to get your tetanus shots because you're going to get bit in the leg a few times. I'm going to take the points with the Steelers, Morency. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. And the one thing is... I actually like something. Hey, Mikey, on camera three, I got something for you. We're going to talk about Big Ben Roethlisberger. I know we talk about the home road splits. What is Bill Belichick? He's a genius. He's going to try to stop Bell. I see Bell getting more touches out of the backfield, other receivers stepping up like Eli Rogers, and Big Ben actually putting up over 300 yards passing this game. Vegas isn't stupid. They came up with a total of 279 for him on a prop. It should be about two. 230 or 240. They're putting it out there for people to take the under. I'm telling you, the Steelers are going to throw the ball a lot more, Morenci, and I love where you're going with Merrill. I see a 24-21 type of game, so I got to take the pooch.
You know, I'm looking at a Le'Veon Bell prop of 103.5 rushing yards. You know, Bell has gone over this number a lot higher than this number,
exactly.
Actually. You know, the guy had, what, 119 in the first half last week or whatever it was? But Bell's rushed for more than 103.5 yards in 7 of the Steelers' last 8 football games.
Yep, but...
He's 100. You know, I should note, the Patriots only give up 88.5 yards a game on the ground. But I think this is a close football game. I'm with you, Cam. I think the Falcons are going to eventually pull away in the football game, win by double digits. Meanwhile, this Pittsburgh-New England game comes down to the wire. Wouldn't shock me if either team won.
How about this, Morenci? Atlanta on the teaser to plus 1.5 or 2, Pittsburgh plus 13. I love it. And you told me never to do this, Morenci, but I got the super middle job. Every team in the 4-game 13-pointer. Green Bay to plus 18.5, Atlanta plus 7, Pittsburgh plus 19, and the Patriots plus 7. Middle job. Middle job.
I can't, you know what? I've stayed away from the sweetheart teasers for the most part.
Doesn't that one sound juicy, though?
But, you know, well, they all sound juicy. That's why they're called teasers. They tease you.
But the
they tease
ones,
you and believe you're about to win money.
The other one won, though, so I'm allowed not to. I can't remember. I could go until we lose.
Yeah, like I said, I wish I could go back in time and be in the room with a bunch of mobsters and, like, in the Bronx that came up with the teasers.
Yeah.
Probably, like, mid-'80s or so. Yeah. Probably Gotti's crew. Hey, John, I got an idea. How about we add on 7 points to the point spread, but you got to bet 2. We'll give them worse odds. It's like a parlay, and we'll call it a teaser. That's a great idea.
I know.
That's a great idea.
You remember me in Vegas after, like, my 48th hour on the blackjack table. I remember the guy came around, and we were talking about the football game. He goes, slid up a smoke. He goes, teasers. They keep the lights on. So you know what I'm talking about. These Vegas sharks don't know that.
Teasers AKA bad parlays.
Yeah, they're bad parlays. But anyway, they look good this week.
All right, you know what, though? I was thinking about the 10-point teasers, too, Cam. And I'm all like, ooh, Falcons plus 5 over 50. Steelers plus 16.
Sounds fantastic. I know it sounds fantastic.
Does that not sound like a winner?
Oh, it's a winner.
That's a winner. That's a winner right there. All right, Cam, so let's talk some hot roster. All right, so let's jump in. We got some quarterback matchups. Aaron Rodgers minus 3 points versus Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers has been on freaking fire, man, for the last 8 weeks, specifically the last 6 weeks. Packers scoring like 33 points per football game. Rodgers, 717 yards, 6 touchdowns and 1 interception in the 2 playoff games. Tom Brady threw for 287 yards versus the Houston Texans. Is this one too easy? Aaron Rodgers, minus 3.
I don't think it's actually too easy, but you said it, Gabe. Rodgers is going to have to throw in the game. 306 yards, the 3 touchdowns. He's been on fire. What are you going to do in this game, though? Tom Brady is not going to be as bad against the Steelers defense, and I think he can throw. The interesting point here, man, they don't have a lot of faith in LeGarrette Blount as the number one back right now, so Brady actually might be tossing around the red zone. I'm looking to take him, but I can't. Rodgers, what are you going to do if Atlanta's up? You got to throw the ball all day long, too, in garbage time. That's why I'm going to lay the 3.
One thing that was somewhat surprising, Rodgers only threw for 246 yards in the Week 8 matchup. Matt Ryan threw for 288 yards in the Week 8 matchup. But you do like Aaron Rodgers minus the 3.
Yeah, I like him over Brady for sure.
All right, Le'Veon Bell minus 5 fantasy points. We should remind you, hot roster format is not PPR. Standard Le'Veon Bell minus 5 against his own quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger camp.
This is the one. I'm actually going to take the 5 with Big Ben. Don't worry about the road stuff. I told you in this game, Bill Belichick and New England are going to try to shut down Bell. They can't do both. Either he's going to have a worse receiving game or run for more yards, but I think he's actually going to get more yards out of the backfield. This is the Gabe, you got to I'm telling you. Vegas, 279. Roethlisberger all day long. They're going to throw on the Patriots. The Patriots' secondary is a little bit weak. You're getting 5 points on hot roster. You got to take the pooch. I actually love Ben in this matchup. I know it's tough to bet against Le'Veon Bell, but I will be.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell is like a phone call from a debt collector, Cam.
I know.
You know it's coming, and you can't stop it.
Actually, they've been calling for the past 7 months, and I have been ignoring them, but it is annoying.
Yeah, so like, everyone knows Le'Veon Bell's about to run the football, but he does that little stutter step. He stops.
It's true.
Brings everyone to, you know, to stand still. It's like he's got a remote control.
Yeah, he's dancing.
Like he freezes everyone. Freeze, and he sort of looks. He's like, oh, look, there's a hole. And then he hits play, and he pops through it again.
You know what the debt collectors are doing with me now? they make it, hey, Mr. Stewart, we have a business deal for you. Yeah, nice try, guys. Got you again.
Yeah. My phone rings like 20 times
you
a day.
You just leave it.
I don't even answer. I see these 800 numbers. I'm like, when are you guys going to give up? And
I remember
realize,
once
I'm
I
not looked, answering.
Like, I remember once we were doing the podcast, I looked at your phone. It was like 72 missed calls. I'm like, you're not getting through to Gabe. Don't worry about it, man. Send a carrier pigeon. Next. What do we got?
Matt Bryant versus Mason Crosby. Battle of kickers. Whew. Tell you what, Matt Bryant, for an old dude, this is as good as he's ever kicked, actually, this year.
When I look at Matt Bryant, I think of the Hell's Angels there. He just looks like he's a
head. Yeah, look at,
and Mason Crosby looks like he's doing Tiger Beat magazine.
You know what it looks like? It's like... Matt Bryant, that looks like a mugshot, and Mason Crosby's the cop that busted.
Exactly.
You know, wanted Matt Bryant, unpaid child support, drunken driving. If information, contact officer Mason Crosby.
Crosby. I like the convict minus one in this matchup on Hot Roster. I think Atlanta's going to score more. That's more extra points. Hey, Gabe, you get a single. Here's the way Hot Roster works for the field goals. 0 to 49 yards, 3, 50 plus, you get 5 extra points, 1. I'm going to go with Matt Bryant because we both believe the Falcons are going to win the game.
Matt Bryant, 34 of 37 this year. Yep. Unbelievable.
He's been hot.
Mason Crosby, 26 of 30.
Ooh.
Both very, very good kickers.
Yep.
But I think there's not going to be a lot of field goals in this game.
Extra points.
And who's going to score more touchdowns?
Falcons.
The Falcons. Ty Montgomery versus LeGarrette Blount. I like Ty Montgomery here.
Honestly, Morenci, I'm looking at this going, wow, Hot Roster, we love you. I know they pay the company and stuff, but there's going to be a lot of people betting on Montgomery. I will too. LeGarrette Blount, Gabe, this is serious stuff. This guy hasn't played more than 29 snaps over the last 5 games. When Deion Lewis is getting red zone touches, we're concerned. Blount is a stock that has plummeted. As for Ty Montgomery, the Packers, hey, they could chuck it to him. He could do a lot of different things. He's getting targeted.
Especially with all those injuries,
Cam. That's the thing. You're for the Green Bay to hang around, Ty Montgomery is going to be, he's going to have to be a viable part of this offense. Give me Ty Montgomery. I see Deion Lewis as the bell cow for the Patriots.
Matt Ryan, over under 23 fantasy points. He averages 21.72 on the season, Cam.
Going over. 23 is a number we can get to, Morenci. Look at the recent form, too. 7 touchdowns the last 2 games. This guy is sick and tired of everyone. Hey, Rodgers. You know what? Matt Ryan's doing his thing, too. Don't worry about it, too. Gabriel is going to have a huge game for the Falcons. If you try to lock down on Jones, he's going to eat these guys up. I love all of his props too, Morenci. Give me over with Matt Ryan. I think we can get to almost 30 fantasy points.
I'm calling it right now. Matt Ryan threw 3 touchdown passes in the first matchup against the Green Bay Packers in Week 8. He throws 4 touchdown passes, maybe 5.
Oh,
maybe 5.
Maybe 5.
Maybe 5. But at least 4.
I like 4.
The 4 horsemen. 4.
4.
4.
4.
Yeah, 4. Matt Ryan's going to light this. He's going to light this thing up, man.
He is, buddy.
Yeah, he's going to light it up. All right, Cam.
Yep.
May the winners be yours.
And yours, Morenci.
Check out hotroster.com. You don't have to worry about a bunch of MIT math majors putting together 200,000 lineups. You're playing head-to-head. You pick the matchup. You win the money. Hotroster.com.
That was a great commercial, buddy. Good work.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. The show is flying by. We've got more entertainment and more football talk tonight on Morenci Unfiltered at midnight.
Oh, who's on?
Taylor Stevens.
Oh!
AVN award-winning Taylor Stevens. Listen, we had Tom Brady Sr. on earlier in the week. So we had Tom Brady's father on. Now we're having a Patriots fan who would happily have a baby with Tom Brady.
Oh, well, Taylor, big fan of the Pats, a big fan of Pat Mayo. It's perfect. she's got all the bases covered.
there you go. All right. And Steve Merrill's a fan of yours as well.
I don't believe that for a second.
No, he did.
I'm a big fan of Steve Merrill, but I doubt he likes me at all.
No, he does. He does.
I always have negative things to say about NASCAR, so I doubt he likes that.
He won't take it personally.
Well, that's all I got for NASCAR.
We'll get it. Well, you're a golf guy, so let's not get into the NASCAR golf.
Oh, whoa.
Who's a better athlete, a NASCAR driver or a golfer?
Which golfer?
Let's say on general.
Today's golfer, probably.
Okay, let's say like the superstars competition.
So
you know what I mean?
So
like they had to run an obstacle course.
Sure.
And
I would take Tiger Woods over any NASCAR driver.
Tiger Woods couldn't get through like... He couldn't climb a fence without getting hurt.
Oh, but maybe not now. This guy was training with the Navy SEALs.
Who, Tiger Woods?
He was. How he ended up hurting his back.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Barry Bonds should have said. Hey, Barry, why are you so big? So I was with the Navy SEALs. but nevertheless. Okay, Packers and Falcons, Pat. This is pretty scary, but there seems to be a major consensus among today's guest and myself that the Atlanta Falcons are going to kick the crap out of the Packers.
Oh, no. See, I don't have that here because I bet you everyone's on the over, too, which I'm not. I'm on the under for both these games. This number's way too big for starters. 61?
60 and a half.
It's 60 and a half now?
Well, whatever. It'll probably close at 61.
It's not getting – this isn't a college game. That's too high.
You need a clean ride, as we say in the business, Pat. You can't have, like – A couple of turnovers, field goals, you're
toast.
Yeah,
so what happens if there's 2-3 and outs to start the game? Then they're not getting to the number.
You're telling me you wouldn't be surprised if both teams got into the 30s?
No, listen, it wouldn't shock me if it went over the number. There's a reason that number is so high. But when you see these two offenses coming at you, you know how good Atlanta's been, and you see what Rodgers has been doing over the past 2 months, just logically in people's minds, the over has to hit. How aren't they scoring touchdowns? These are still NFL coaches with NFL defensive players. Like, stuff can happen here. So I think that maybe one team gets to 30, but I don't think it's as high scoring as you think. So if I'm going to take the under here, I'm also going to take the points with the Packers. I think it's a lot of points. I don't necessarily know if they win or not, but I do think they cover this number, and I do think if they lose, they probably lose by 3 or less.
It does have that feel. And one thing, anytime something's too obvious in a gambling world, it generally ends up being too obvious, and it ends up backfiring, like you said, with this total. And this game does have the feel of whoever has the ball last wins.
Is going to win.
Similar situation when they played in week 8.
Now, the difference is with these two teams, and sometimes you talk about, the team's going to drive down the field and kick a field goal, and that's how they're going to win. You hold the ball last, you win. With these two teams, it could just be a touchdown game. You know, we always talked about the Saints and Falcons earlier this season. It'd be like, we think it's going to be a one-score game, but that score's a touchdown, not a field goal, which then the points really come into play. But I'll take the points. It's hard for me really to go against Aaron Rodgers. I don't care that all of his wide receivers are beat up. He makes receivers good, not necessarily the other way around. Jordy Nelson playing would be a huge boon, especially even if he only played every red zone snap that they had. How good he is inside the 20-yard line, getting himself open in the end zone, is key for the Packers.
I'd be shocked if he plays.
I'd be shocked too, but it looks like Adams is going to play. It looks like Allison's going to play. You're going to get some Jeff Janis in your life, but even if it's Richard Rodgers or Jared Cook, they have enough guys with enough size to score touchdowns once they get in close. And one thing that I really like, and I really think is the underrated part of this game, and what I think the Packers are going to do, I think they're going to run the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Atlanta has a bad run defense. I mean, they're bad.
That's definitely, it has to be the game plan going in.
Just
run the ball. Montgomery averages 5.9 yards a rush, actually.
And he's a good receiver as well.
Yeah.
So you
I think he's going to do damage, but you're right. You got to keep Matt Ryan off the field. That's they have to try to do that.
And Atlanta's going to say the exact same thing. We need to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field.
But Atlanta's average drive of scoring is 3 minutes this year. They go down.
And you can't get yourself out of the rhythm of what you do well. And with Atlanta, like, they're not a lineup, you know, four wide, single back, just hand off 3 times in a row. Just they run everything off Matt Ryan and basically Julio Jones. It makes everyone else open. It makes running lanes for Coleman. It makes running lanes for Devonta Freeman. It gets them open in the passing game. So, yes, their pace is going to stay high. I think Green Bay can afford to slow it down a little bit. And weirdly, Atlanta's D is better than the Packers' D. So
it is. That's why I like the Falcons. And we've been talking about all week, but I think they're going to be able to get some stops. Time's running out already. Interesting prop in this game, Pat, that I saw. Total combined passing yards.
Over 700 is the number?
633 and a half.
Like I said, I think that
feels low.
It feels low.
But how about this, Pat? Week 8, Rodgers, 246. Matt Ryan, 288.
And they scored a ton of points in that
game. They scored a ton of points. Yeah, it's bizarre. It almost another one. Oh, that's easy. Oh, over 633. But like a sucker, I like the over. Steelers and Patriots, this one, Pat, I like the under. I like the under first half, 25. It's a lot of points, 25 in the first half. I think both teams are really going to try to establish the run in this football game.
I agree. And I think if that's the case, the Patriots are going to not only win, but they'll cover and the under will hit. I think the Patriots are a much better team.
Wow. So you've got the Packers playing the Patriots.
Yep. And the Packers to cover.
Okay, all right. So yeah, maybe the Falcons.
It could be the Falcons. I just
okay. But you like gonna, the, I like the Steelers in this game.
I like the. I don't think the Steelers are all that good.
I think the Patriots are overrated. I think the Steelers are better than the Patriots.
The Patriots might be overrated, but
without Rob Gronkowski, like seriously, you break down this stuff from a fantasy perspective. Yeah. Who do they have? Bennett's been doing nothing.
And he's
Chris Hogan sucks.
And one of the things
Julian Edelman's good. Who are they throwing the ball to? Like, who's Pittsburgh secondary going, oh my God, who do we have to stop here?
Deion Lewis out of the backfield. You have Malcolm Mitchell back to stretch the field. Michael Floyd's got size. Brady makes these, like the guys on the Packers, he throws the guys open. The scheme gets these guys open. And it's not like the Patriots' offense is predicated with throwing 50-yard passes down the field.
No.
That is the Steelers' offense. And if they run the ball 35 times with Le'Veon Bell, they're going to lose this game. They need to get him involved as a receiver. Open up those lanes. Make sure that they can't double Antonio Brown. But I just think that Bill Belichick is a better coach than Mike Tomlin. He's going to out-scheme him. And the one thing the Patriots do well on
defense
is...
Belichick's 5-1 against Tomlin.
And the Steelers suck on the road. I know they won last week, but we've seen it. It happened.
They've won 5 games in a row on the road.
It happened last week in Kansas City. They couldn't score a touchdown. It happened in that Cleveland game earlier. They get in the red zone, they can't score a touchdown. It happened against Cincinnati. They get in the red zone, they can't score a touchdown. You think against the Patriots, against a team that is much better coach with a much better run defense, that they're just going to be putting up points over and over and over? No, not a chance. They don't score 2 touchdowns in this game. They might score 1. And if that's going to be the case, the Patriots are going to win and they're going to cover.
Wow. Bold words. The Pittsburgh Steelers held to 1 touchdown. The New England Patriots are only giving up 15.6 points per game.
That's not a great metric.
Who do they play? Exactly. Who have they played?
By DVOA, their defense is like 16th.
You know, to me this game, the total is 50. I think it's going to be close to the number, but I think we've got a 24-23 style football game. I think this game's going to be extremely close.
I'm kind of with you, but I'm thinking more like 24-13.
All right. Patriots have the third-ranked rush defense in the National Football League. These guys only give up 88 yards a game on the ground, which is incredibly impressive. Le'Veon Bell's prop is 103.5 yards. 103.5.
Total yards or rushing yards?
Rushing yards.
I would take the under on that, but I would take the over on whatever his receiving total is.
He's rushed for more than 103 in 7 of his last 8 football games.
And that's how they've been winning, but I just don't think it's going to be the method that you want to do to attack the Patriots. And the big thing, too, is one of the reasons that the Pittsburgh defenses look so good, they keep blitzing and blitzing and blitzing, and that's the only way that they can generate pressure. And we all know that getting Brady off of his spot is the way to do it, but you need to be able to generate that pressure with all the 4 guys and no one else. You need to drop everyone else back, or someone's going to be open. Brady against the blitz is just terrific. He becomes terrific, Tom. He gets a ball out so quickly that if they have to bring 6 guys at Brady, Edelman is going to be standing uncovered over the middle of the field. That's just what's going to happen. Or it's going to be Hogan. These guys don't need to be good to catch wide open passes.
If you're the Steelers and you can take Edelman out of this game somehow, I'm not saying injure him out of the game, but if you can jam him, you can stop him from running around like crazy, they're going to beat these guys outright. I'm telling you.
Listen, it's very much on the table. I agree with you. If the Pittsburgh offense shows up and can just start scoring, especially with these long plays, you get Brown even on a slant, a 5-yard slant route that he can take. But they need one of those big plays to happen. And the thing with the Patriots is they don't give up those type of plays.
Well, you know what? The AFC, -3 right now in the Super Bowl, -140 on the money line.
I would take both NFC teams over Pittsburgh. And I don't know if I would say the same thing about New England.
Yeah, basically the...
What do you want to see? From a fan perspective, I want to see Packers-Patriots.
Well, the ultimate matchup is Brady-Rodgers, right?
That's what I want to see. I have no rooting interest.
As somebody that played some futures, I want to see Pittsburgh and Atlanta. All right, Pat, it's always a pleasure. Game Time Decisions continues. All right, guys, it's time for our weekly DraftKings lineup. Our lineup did real well last week. This week, I had some trouble with this. There's only 2 games, so it is what it is, right? You've got to live with what you're given. Quarterback position, I don't see how we don't go with Matt Ryan. And I think that the most explosive game on the board this week will be this game. And I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to score 38, 41. Wouldn't shock me if they scored 45 points in this football game. Matt Ryan, 14 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions, the last 5. He threw 3 TDs in the Week 8 matchup. I'd be surprised if he didn't throw like 3 or 4 this week. Le'Veon Bell, I know he's freaking expensive, but man, the guy's just a machine. He's going to put up 25, 30 DK points in this spot. He's going to get a ton of touches. The Patriots only give up 88 yards a game on the ground, but whatever. It doesn't matter. I just had to take Le'Veon Bell. Took a piece of Tevin Coleman here. He's got a touchdown in four of his past five games. We know how the Falcons like to diversify their portfolio. Julio Jones. A lot of talk about the toe. You know, he got held in check in the first matchup. He only had three catches, actually, for like 29 yards. But with that being stated, the trip to the Super Bowl at stake, I just don't think the Packers are going to have anybody to match up with him. Packers' secondary is terrible, all right? Aaron Rodgers is great, but don't forget, the Packers' secondary is terrible. I think that Sanu, good price for Sanu, actually. Four catches and a touchdown in each of the last eight games. So two touchdowns and eight catches in the last two games. Randall Cobb. Well, Aaron Rodgers got to throw the ball to somebody, all right? Jordy Nelson's not going to play in this football game. And I'll tell you what, I'm starting to believe that Davante Adams is a lot more injured than people are like, oh, no, he'll be fine, he'll be fine. I'm not so sure he's going to be fine, actually. Aaron's got to throw the ball to somebody. I'm going to put Randall Cobb in here at $5,900. No touchdown last week, but he still got targeted eight times, and he still ended up with seven catches. This Hooper pick, I don't like. All right, and I was kind of squeezed with money, and you know, I didn't even realize, to be honest, that Rodgers, Richard Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers, the second-tier tight end, he's only $2,500 as well. Props to Cameron too, Drew, for saying, "Hey, what about Rodgers at $2,500?" I was like, "Yeah, yeah," you know. So up to you guys, but I don't have a problem putting Rodgers in here. Scratch it out, put like Rodgers in. I'm like, in Allison. Once again, Allison's banged up, but he's going to play. And I think that Davante Adams might be a hell of a lot hurt than people are letting on. And the Steelers' defense, only $2,300. We'll win some money with this lineup this week. All right, let's get to our plays of the day. And let's start off with one of the hottest teams in the National Basketball Association, the Philadelphia 76ers, man. These guys are 8-1 against the Sprinter last night basketball game. They've won like four in a row at home. They're going to beat the Blazers tonight, and they're getting a point and a half. Give me the Toronto Raptors plus one. They're not really playing well right now. They look kind of beaten down and tired, but so does Charlotte, and the Raptors have beaten Charlotte five of the last six times they played. We got the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. The total's up to 239.5 right now, man. That's crazy. I want to take the over, but I can't. Give me the Rockets plus five, but let's take the over. Eastern Michigan, Akron, Oakland, Northern Kentucky, over 150. Cleveland at Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Give me the home team, Wisconsin, Milwaukee. What can Brown do for you? Plus six. May the winners be yours.